Thank you. and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh,
my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear.
Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after,
that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble.
He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh,
my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall.
Thank you.
course of this world may be so peaceably ordered by your governance, that your church may joyfully serve you in all godly quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Confessional reading for today is questions 71 and 72 from the Catechism. What does the Bible affirm about people who are not married? Our identity, worth, or completeness as human beings is not determined by our marital status, but by our Creator and Redeemer. God has made us stewards of His creation, whether single or married. Genesis 1. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the seas and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God has given all good things to all Christians, whether single or married. Romans 8. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God calls unmarried persons to live in contentment as they trust in him and serve their neighbor. 1 Corinthians 7. To the unmarried and the widows I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. Also from 1 Corinthians 7. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or the betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. People will not be married in the age to come after Jesus returns. Matthew 22. For the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. What is the Christian view of living together apart from marriage? Cohabitation. God's will for our lives is violated in several ways when a man and woman live together in a sexual relationship without being married. Cohabitation fails to honor God's gift of marriage by not actually entering into marriage, by separating sexual activity from the marriage union in which a man and a woman have made a publicly recognized lifelong promise of faithfulness to each other, by confusing or deceiving others, often including children, about the nature of the couple's relationship, suggesting a commitment to marriage that is not in fact there, or assuming that cohabitation is a valid test of future marital success. Genesis 2. Therefore, man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. 1 Corinthians 7. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. 1 Corinthians 13. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. In Hebrews 13, let the marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Our Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Trinity is from the 50th chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about to this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and for your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here endeth our epistle reading. Please rise. Safe.
Why should the nation say, Where is their God?
Help us, O God of our salvation.
For the glory of your name, deliver us.
You have sat
on the throne, giving righteous judgment. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble.
Chapter of St. Luke, beginning with verse 36. Jesus says, Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, Brother, remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Here endeth the gospel reading.
all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost, the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Thank you. 36 and 37. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. The theme is, be merciful and live by the gospel. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now you pray this whenever you pray the Lord's Prayer. And with our reading today, Jesus is trying to get you to understand what you pray for every day. When you pray that your Father in heaven would forgive you your trespasses, you are asking that He would have mercy upon you, that He would not judge you, that He would not condemn you, but rather forgive you. And you also promise that you will likewise show mercy on others. This is what it means to be merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. Dear saints in Christ, this reading can only be understood through the light of the gospel. Judge not, Jesus says. Why? Because God will not judge you. Condemn not. Why? Because God will not condemn you, but rather condemn sins in the flesh of His own Son, Jesus Christ, who committed no sin. Forgive. Why? Because God in Christ forgave you. You love because God first loved you. You have mercy because God has shown mercy to you. Nevertheless, when you remove the light of the gospel from these words, they become distorted into devilish teachings. And few words have been so grossly misapplied than Jesus' words, judge not, and you will not be judged. These words of Jesus have been used by unbelievers and false teachers to rebuke Christians for holding to the teachings of the Christian faith. You must not say that Jesus is the only way to heaven, because that is being so judgmental toward other religions. And after all, Jesus says, do not judge. You must not say that sexual revolution was evil, that sex belongs only between a husband and a wife in marriage, that all other sexual relations are sinful, because after all, that is being judgmental. And Jesus says, do not judge. You must not condemn false teachings and sinful behavior of any kind. Because after all, Jesus says, do not condemn, do not judge. And many Christians have fallen for this lie. Christians remain silent and even accept or allow false teachings like universalism and unionism, and sinful activities like fornication and homosexuality and abortion, simply because unbelievers tell them that their Lord tells them not to judge. But when Jesus tells you not to judge, He is obviously not telling you to accept or allow what is evil or believe what is false. In fact, there are times when Jesus tells you to judge. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. And when Jesus tells you to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing but inwardly are ravenous wolves, He is teaching you to judge your teachers and preachers so that you will know whether your teachers and preachers are true teachers and preachers or false ones. Christians are commanded by Jesus to judge between false teachings and the one true teaching, to make distinctions between the fruits of the Spirit and the sinful works of the flesh. Likewise, parents must make judgments concerning their children. Otherwise, they cannot discipline them or raise them up in the fear and the love of the Lord. And governments must make judgments in the courts of law. This is why Scripture teaches that no charge should be established except by two or three witnesses, and that all people should obey the governing authorities. And Scripture teaches that if anyone is caught in any transgressions, those who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness, which of course is impossible if you do not make a judgment between what is and what is not a transgression. And to decline or forego making that judgment and leading someone to perish in his or her sin is neither merciful nor loving. So it is clear, unless Jesus is going to contradict Scripture, which is impossible, that when Jesus says, judge not, he does not mean do not ever judge. Rather, Jesus is warning against unauthorized and loveless judging. Do not pass judgment when you have not been given the job to pass judgment in that situation. And when you do pass judgment, do it in love. When you see your brother or sister sinning, do not seek to destroy them, but to save them. Despite this great abuse that has led many astray, this lesson from Jesus still needs to be heard, and it still needs to be learned today. You all need to hear that you should not judge. As you celebrate our nation's 250th anniversary this next weekend, and feelings of patriotism rise with every crack of a firecracker, exploding off in the distance, while many demand the removal of statues, others are vandalizing them or tearing them down. Statues of the Confederacy, of soldiers, of Columbus, Washington, Lincoln, Grant, and Teddy Roosevelt, as well as notable abolitionists and even saints. Those attempting to tear down these statues argue that these men represent evil, because of the things that they did or things that they said in their lifetime. Now, obviously, all these men did do bad things in their lifetime, but their images were not erected for the bad things or for the monumental things they did for our nation. And those who are condemning these men for their real or perceived flaws would do well to remove the log out of their own eyes before they point to the speck in the eyes of the others, of these historical figures who cannot defend themselves now. For surely future generations will have more than enough to condemn them if they ever do anything worthy of a monument. The last generation has been complicit in the face of evil just as much as previous generations, as you put them into the harm that has been done to unborn babies and the innocence of stolen childhoods. Christians should clearly see enough to know, as when you pray, God bless America, that you should also remember to pray, Lord, have mercy on America for her many sins. For ultimately, it is not history that will judge you, but God Almighty. Nevertheless, it is not for the sake of statues or dead historical titans that Jesus says these words, but it is for your husband, your wife, your brother or sister, your co-worker or fellow Christian. You see, no talking heads on the television will debate whether the character assassination you committed against your sister or neighbor is justified. No one is going to write their congressman about whether you judged your spouse's tone of voice too harshly, or whether you were too dismissive to your father's words. When you deal with one another, you need to keep the words of Jesus in your mind. Remove the log out of your own eye before you point the speck in your neighbor's. This means that you should repent of your many sins and recognize that you live by grace. God paid the debt you owed him for your sins. So be quick to forgive any debt that someone might owe you against you. This does not mean that you accept or allow sin. Rather, it means that with your interactions with one another, you always have a goal to forgive and to be reconciled, not to seek to destroy and condemn. Christians should be more equipped to pass judgment than unbelievers, because they have been taught by Jesus Christ himself what is right and wrong. You should be able to identify sin, to avoid it, and to recognize good and pursue it. Nevertheless, Christians should be the last ones to pass judgment and condemn, because you live in the light of the gospel. God has forgiven you your great trespasses. So when you recognize sin, you see sins for which Jesus shed his innocent blood. When you recognize sinners, you see sinners for whom Christ died to save. When you see sin, you see your own sin and you show humility and penitent hearts and thank God who has forgiven you for Christ's sake. So be merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. These words are often interpreted to mean you should show yourself to be merciful in order for God to show mercy on you. Nevertheless, this also is a distortion. This is a misrepresentation of Jesus' words. Because if that were so, you would only be required to show mercy on those who have likewise proven themselves to be merciful or otherwise deserving of your mercy. But the point is, God your Father in heaven shows mercy upon you when you do not deserve it. While you were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. God does not forgive those who deserve it, but God forgives those who do not deserve forgiveness. And that is how merciful you should be. Forgive those who do not deserve to be forgiven. You can only give mercy if you yourself have received mercy. It is by the renewing power of the gospel that you are able to show the love of God which he shows to you. Unless you are motivated by the gospel with renewed spirit within you, your motivation will be tainted with sin, and your mercy will be sinful. Jesus says that a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree good fruit. Unless God makes you a good tree, you cannot bear good fruit. Unless God makes you merciful, you cannot show mercy. A student is not greater than his teacher, but every student, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. You will never be more merciful than God. Those who claim a mercy greater than that revealed to you in Jesus are often revealed to have a deeply cruel mercy, a mercy that does not forgive, a mercy that does not protect, a mercy that does not seek after good, but judges and condemns the righteous. And you as a Christian will never be greater than your Lord in his mercies. But you will be like him as he has shown mercy upon you. So you will show mercy to others. Even as you do it in weakness. Even as your sinful flesh fights against this renewed spirit within you. God will cultivate good fruit in you by his grace, revealed to you in his Son. Your saints in Christ, the words "be merciful" are a command. Nevertheless, they also reveal to you a promise. As you grow inwardly eager to be revealed as God's Son and heirs of redeemed bodies, the Spirit bears witness to you that you are children of your Father in heaven. What has been shown to you and what your renewed selves desire to be is what you will be when the final day shall come. You shall be like him, even as you see him as he is. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. according to their needs. Lord God, Heavenly Father, help us, your baptized children, to be merciful as you are merciful, that we may measure others as you measure us in Christ, not counting their sins against them, but forgiving them as you have forgiven us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, as your mercy is poured out in rich measure, so open the mouths of all ministers in the church to preach your blessed and saving gospel. Open the mouths of Christians to proclaim the marvels of him who called us from darkness into his marvelous light. Let our works of mercy attest to the love we have received from you. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord our God, you warned against hatred and grudges against brothers and sons. Watch over the households of your people, where there is strife or division, grant peace and reconciliation, that our homes might be havens of forgiveness and love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all, you raised up Joseph according to your plan to exercise authority in Egypt, working good from what was meant only for evil. Work by your power in the leaders and authorities of our nation, whom you have set in place, that many will be kept alive and protected in this life from their governance. Watch over, guard, and keep our servicemen and women your protective care, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Dylan, Rebecca, Aiden, Donovan, and Emily. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, most we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Kim, Tom, and Kim continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive the groanings of your church, dear Father, as we await the redemption of our bodies and the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Turn away the corruption of sin, the futility of our fallen state, and every ill of body and soul. We especially pray for Robin, Carol, Steve, Kathy, Roger, Helen, Deanna, Carlene, Brianna, Leisha, Robin, Deb, Mary, Shirley, Carl, Billy, Carol, and the Cloud Baby. Comfort us in the midst of these sufferings, that with a certain hope of your incomparable glory, which at last will be revealed in us, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, forgive our sins and bind us together in holy communion, that we may live in harmony with one another, and as far as it depends on us, live peaceably with all. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, Heavenly Father, you are merciful, and through Christ you have promised that you will neither judge nor condemn us, but graciously forgive us all our sins, and abundantly provide for all our wants of body and soul. By your Holy Spirit, establish in our hearts a confident faith in your mercy. Teach us in turn to be merciful to our neighbor, that we may not judge or condemn others, but willingly forgive all, and judging only ourselves, lead blessed lives in your fear. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you. Overcame death and the grave,
and by his glorious resurrection, open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, the Lamb of God, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, have mercy on us.
take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. The true blood of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sins. take, drink the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of our sins.
Thank you.
blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. That of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us to the same in faith toward thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Upon thee and give thee peace.